Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I want you to come on in, make yourself comfortable. I've got a chair reserved for you, but you have to bring your own beverage. So I hope you brought your own beverage and your snack. If not, I'm going to give you time to get whatever you need, because we are today going to discuss the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Now, normally, we would on this particular Sunday, we would be celebrating the fourth Sunday in ordinary time. But because of the fact that February the 2nd is the Presentation of the Lord, this feast replaces the fourth Sunday in ordinary time. So this is going to be real cool as we look at when Jesus was first presented in the temple. That's what the presentation is all about. And as we usually do on this program, what we'll do is tie the readings to a particular message for each of us. The Lord has something in store for us. I'm not sure I've got an idea what it is, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit really give me everything that He has for us today. And note that I say us, because this message is directed at me too. There were so many times that I'm giving one of these talks or doing a radio show like this, talking about the Lord, talking about the Word of God. And what happens is I go off in a different direction, realizing that the Holy Spirit is inspiring me to go in a different direction. So what that means for you is, don't lose confidence in me. What that means for you is, I'm not really sure where we're going today, other than we are talking about the presentation of the Lord. It is so great to be back with you. I hope you know how fired up I get when I get to share some time with you once a week on the Gary Zimak Show, when we get to talk about the scriptures, when we get to talk about how the Lord wants to be a part of our life. And I want to talk to anybody out there right now who is hopeless. You're feeling completely discouraged, hopeless, despondent, whatever it is. I want you to remember this. And this is the Holy Spirit speaking through me, I guarantee you. There is no such thing as an impossible situation for our Lord Jesus Christ. He can do all things. So He can fix your problem. If He doesn't, it doesn't mean that He is not listening or that you're doing something wrong. Generally speaking, if He is delaying, giving you a delayed response to your request, or you're praying and not seeing anything, there's a reason. Trust His timing, and in the meantime, ask Him what He is trying to teach you. But you know, whatever it is, the illness, the financial situation, the relationship problem, the loneliness, the bad habit that you just can't shake, keep on praying. Don't ever believe that anything is hopeless. If something in your mind tells you that this particular problem is hopeless, that's the devil. The devil is going to be the one who wants to discourage you. God can do all things. Please never forget that. That's the one message that I want you to get from all of these shows that I do. God can do all things. He doesn't always respond in the way we expect or the way we would like, but with Him, nothing is impossible. So please, don't ever forget that. And if you forget it, shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I would be glad to remind you, because I've seen numerous miracles in my life. Throughout Scripture also, we see time after time after time when the Lord came through when there appeared to be no way. So that's a little something I didn't expect to say at the start of the show, but again, I go where the Spirit leads me. Anyway, I hope you're ready to get started. Why don't we pray together, and then we'll get into the readings for the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You for allowing us to be alive, to come together once again over the airwaves, to let You speak to us through Your written word. What an incredible privilege, Father. Thank You for creating us. Thank You for always being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank You for wanting to be in a relationship with us. Thank You, Father, for loving us just as we are. No matter what we do, there is nothing we can ever do to make You love us any more or any less. Your love is unconditional and constant, and that is amazing. Father, thank you for never losing your temper with us, for never getting impatient with us, for never telling us you're too busy. Father, thank you for providing for our needs. Sometimes it gets a little tricky and it can be a little painful, but we trust, Father, that you know what it is that we need. Sometimes we get our wants and our needs confused. So thank you for providing what we need, both spiritually and materially in our lives. Father, help us know how we can better serve you. Help us know you better. Help us feel your love better. Help us know, love, and serve Jesus, your Son, to a greater degree. And help us come to know our friend, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gets shut out, but we know, Father, you want us to know the Holy Spirit. So help us to get to know and rely on and depend and become good friends with your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. You know I have a general outline about how this show should work, but I ask you to fire up your Holy Spirit inside of me, to give me new ideas, to give me fresh insights, to give me your message for us today. And I ask this, Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thanks so much for praying with me. Sometimes I get carried away when I pray because I'm just speaking to my Heavenly Father. And I hope you'll become comfortable, or you might be comfortable doing that. But that's really a goal. That's a goal that we should all attain. We should try to attain, I should say. We should aim for the goal of getting to be on a very familiar basis with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Three persons of the Trinity. And it's really a good idea to work on that. It's something that I've had to work on, my relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's growing. It's still not where it should be. And that's the way it should always be. We want to be growing closer to the Trinity every day for the rest of our lives. And that just happens by spending time with each person. So make it a point to talk to each person of the Trinity. Don't be afraid to give one of them a little extra time one day, because I get a little weird about that sometimes. And as one of my spiritual directors told me, that's okay. They all talk and they get it. So it's fine if they get it. Don't feel you're slighting one of the persons of the Trinity if you're spending a little extra time with them. And while you're at it, throw in a word or two to Saint Joseph and the Blessed Mother. They're going to be a great help for you as well. All right, so we're going to look at the readings now for the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. And I also want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you want to find out anything about me, if you want to see where I'll be speaking in the upcoming weeks, if you want to find out how to bring me to your parish, if you want to check out my books, including Give Up Worry for Lent. That was a big seller last year, and it's already climbing on the charts once again this year. Now's the time to make sure you don't get shut out by picking up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. You can check it out at followingthetruth.com. Also, if you're on Facebook and you would like an interactive walk through Give Up Worry for Lent, I'm going to be doing that this Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday. There's a Give Up Worry for Lent Facebook page. So you do a little search, you'll be able to find that. Just like the page, click like, and then you'll see all the posts that I put out there. What I plan to do is supplement the material each day of Give Up Worry for Lent. I'll put a little tidbit or two. Maybe we have some interaction going back and forth. If you have any questions, any comments, so look for the Give Up Worry for Lent Facebook page. Click it to like it, and then you'll be all set and ready to go. Any questions, you can always shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, now these readings. The Presentation of the Lord. We're going to do what we normally do on the show. We'll start with the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead, and then we'll fill in the blanks by looking at the first, the second reading, and the psalm. The gospel comes from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, there is a lot in this reading today, in this gospel reading. We're just going to talk about a few of the key points of this gospel of the presentation. So here we see Mary, Joseph, and Jesus going up to the temple in Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. Now you might say, why does this have to be? Why does Jesus, who is divine, who is God, who is the second person of the Trinity, why does he have to be presented in the temple? Well, you have to remember, Mary and Joseph, they are devout and obedient Jews. They're following the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. This is what the law prescribes. And you have to look at the fact that Jesus, in his ultimate humility, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, was willing to become man, to take on a human body. You talk about incredible humility, that he lowered himself. He voluntarily did this. And along with this would be such events, such as like the presentation, such as the ability to feel emotions, to suffer. This is what happened when Jesus took on a human body. And he did this for us. He did this, in a sense, so that we could become divine. And that doesn't mean we become gods, but what it means is when Jesus took on a human body, he took on human flesh, he brought his divinity into the human form, and he allowed us to be incorporated into his body, which is the mystical body, the church. So we're part of Jesus now because of what he did when he came to earth, when he became man, when the Word became flesh. We live in the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. That doesn't mean that each of us individually is divine, because we're not. We're human. But Jesus is fully human, fully divine. And by what he did, he changed us. And through our baptism, through what we receive in baptism, through what takes place in baptism, we are incorporated. We become a member of the church, but it's more than that. We become incorporated into Jesus. So therein lies our divinity. It's a pretty cool thing that we are a member of Christ's mystical body. But don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say we in any way are divine or God. We're not. That's not the point. But the point is that Jesus took on human flesh to sanctify us, to make us holy, so that we could be a part of his body. Pretty deep concept, right? But you got to admit, even if you don't fully understand it, it's a really cool thing. Sometimes I get myself confused when I start talking about this deep theology, but it's a really amazing concept. So while Mary and Joseph are presenting Jesus in the temple, they encounter a man named Simeon. Simeon was righteous and devout, good man, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. We read that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. Now, this is one of those mysterious operations of the Holy Spirit, a prophecy, if you will, a revelation Simeon got to go to the temple because he would see the Messiah. So that's what he did. He came to the temple, and it's kind of like an interesting insight into the fact that the Holy Spirit gives us many promptings. A lot of times we ignore them. It's probably not a good idea to ignore promptings that you get if they're reasonable. I mean, you don't want to do crazy, crazy things. But oftentimes the Holy Spirit will inspire you to go here, go there, talk to this person, send that email, get involved in this outreach, or any number of things. That's one of the ways the Holy Spirit communicates to us. The way we get to be sure that it is the Holy Spirit is we got to get to know him better. That's kind of what I was saying at the start of the show. We want to spend time with the Holy Spirit and get to know him personally so that when he does speak, when you start to get these revelations, you'll be able to act on them and know that it is him. So Simeon blesses Jesus, blessed God, took Jesus in his arms, and he said something really tough. He said to the Blessed Mother, "A sword will pierce your heart. You yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He was telling the Blessed Mother, prophesying, something that really she probably didn't want to hear, that she would have to suffer, that because of Jesus, there would be suffering in her life. Obviously, we know how that played out. You know, Simeon listened to the Spirit. He went in the temple, and look, Simeon, you think Mary and Joseph, they should know everything because they are entrusted with the Son of God. That's Jesus is their son. But that's not the way it worked. Simeon, an ordinary man, but he was holy, following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke through Simeon to give this message to Mary. Again, it's not a message that she necessarily wanted to hear. I'm sure it caused her great suffering to even think about that this is going to be a rough road ahead. But Simeon was used as God's instrument in the same way that any of us can be used. So a lot of times he depends on us to put that post on Facebook, maybe something positive, something that we feel needs to be said, maybe to speak to our children or our spouse at the right time. Maybe something's going wrong in their lives and we should say something. Maybe we should give them a positive affirmation of some kind. The Holy Spirit uses us to share the good news. And we have to be willing to take him up on the offer and really execute his plan. If you've got the feeling you're supposed to talk to somebody about something or do something, please don't hesitate to do it. But again, pray for prudence that you do it in the right way. Also, Anna the prophetess is in the temple. She gets to see Jesus. So what we see is the light coming into the temple, the light of the world once again being revealed during this presentation. We're following up on last week's theme about Jesus is the light of the world. The light is coming into the temple. Simeon is seeing the Messiah. And just as a side note, when you think that, wow, look at how he reacted when he saw Jesus. Now, Master, talking to God the Father, "You may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." That's his reaction to seeing the baby Jesus. How do you react when you see Jesus present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion? Just something to think about. I mean, we have that same opportunity. Simeon seeing the Savior as a baby. He's not seeing him and hearing him speak and preach and die on the cross and rise from the dead. He's not seeing any of that. He's seeing a little baby. When you and I look at what appears to be a piece of bread, we're seeing the same Savior. It was hard for Simeon with his eyes to perceive that this is the Messiah and these are the things that he's going to do. In hindsight, we know what Jesus did, but Simeon wasn't able to see that, but yet he still was able to praise the Father for sending his Son. We can look at that host and utter that same prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for letting me see the Messiah, just like Simeon. So just a side note, But when they fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor was of God was upon him. So Jesus is obedient to his parents. Kind of amazing that the Savior, the Messiah, second person of the Trinity, was obedient to the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. That's all the more reason to get to know Mary and Joseph. They're good people, and they can really help you. And if you love them, you're going to really honor Jesus. The first reading comes from the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire or like the fuller's lye. He will sit, refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Thus the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. Now we see here the prophecy of Malachi indicating the messenger is preparing the way before me. I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. Now that's a forward reference or a foreshadowing of John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. And what happens? Malachi says, in the temple, you're going to see the Lord whom you seek and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Now the messenger here is Jesus. So Jesus is coming to bring the new covenant. He is appearing in the temple. This is what Simeon has in his mind. Simeon's a devout man. He obviously knows the scriptures. He knows what Malachi prophesied. Simeon sees this coming about in the flesh. And you do too. You are seeing that messenger of the new covenant, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. Again, he looks different, but body, blood, soul, and divinity is contained in that host. That is an incredible privilege for you and me. And I'll be honest, there are times when I don't appreciate the real presence of Christ as I should. This is a lesson for me. It's also a sign, the first reading of the gospel, that Simeon was patient. He waited because he believed that God was good for his word, that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. Now, there are many things that Jesus, in your prayers, may have promised you. Maybe you have a desire in your heart. Don't give up. You know, we have to be fully submissive to his will. But if you have a desire, maybe to start a ministry, maybe for your marriage to be repaired, maybe to break this bad habit, maybe for your children to return to the faith, maybe for your illness to be cured, don't ever give up hope. Simeon didn't. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to give up hope either. Well, at the same time, being docile and responsive to however he answers the prayer, don't ever lose hope and just pray for the gift of being able to be patient while you wait for the Lord. That's the thing that does us in sometimes. We're praying and we get fed up. We don't pray anymore because, he's not listening. No. When he says no, he says no. But until he says no, be patient. Simeon never gave up. And he showed up in the temple, and he got what was promised. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 24, who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, you ancient portals, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, you ancient portals, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, this is really neat for us because every time we set foot in a Catholic church, we are in the presence of Jesus. The Father, we are worshiping the Father. The Son shows up by the power of the Holy Spirit. So all three persons of the Trinity are in the church. And we see this play out at every Catholic Mass. I mean, an incredible privilege. And if anything, I hope you're just more fired up the next time you go to Mass and really appreciate what's going on. It has nothing to do with how dynamic the preacher is, you know, your priest. Maybe he's not a dynamic preacher. Maybe the deacon's not that dynamic. Maybe you don't feel inspired. Still doesn't change anything. Father, Son, Spirit, they are all present at that time when you go to Mass. It's an amazing, amazing privilege. So pray for, you know, ask Simeon to help you to pray to that you understand what's really going on during Mass. Let's look at the second reading now. It comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Now, this is a reminder for us that, again, I just talked about this. Jesus took on human flesh. He took on a human body willingly. He stooped down. He lowered himself to become one of us while still retaining his divinity. But he was subject to humiliation and pain and different bodily experiences, similar to what you and I go through. He gets it. Whatever you're going through, Jesus gets it. Because we can't say that, well, Lord, you don't understand what it's like to have a really bad headache. The Lord knows what it's like to feel pain. And this is what he did. And by becoming human, he was able to take our place on the cross, because you and me, we're the ones who should have been on the cross being sacrificed. But Jesus, because of the severity of our sin, he was the only one that could make the perfect sacrifice to the Father to atone for our sins. And he did that willingly. So there you have it. A lot of food for thought. Really good stuff today. Good readings. I get fired up when I read the Word of God, and I hope I helped you in some way to better appreciate what's going on at Mass and to appreciate the fact that every time at Mass you see the light of the world showing up right there. All right, I got to run. Thanks so much for joining me on the Gary Zimek Show. Please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work, to get in touch with me, and if you would kindly be willing to leave me a donation to help me fund my full-time ministry, you know I would be very thankful. Until we meet again, my friends, I want to thank you for everything. Please remember that the Lord really is with you. Don't forget that. He's with you. Turn to him. Let him know what you need, and I guarantee he will come through for you. Have a wonderful week. God willing, I look forward to being with you next week on the Gary Zimek Show.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.